Thank you so much. Today, I want to kind of switch the game up. And I also want to say we bless God for Brother Willie on the bass. Amen. He is. Brother Willie represents so much more than music. Amen. We thank God for him. For the last 6 months, we have been dealing with this book called Acts. And my prayer has been that we would see how serious the early church was in the book of Acts and that it would inspire us to really get about the Father's business. That's been the prayer. But from last Sunday to this Sunday, I've been in watch mode. And every now and again, it is so very important to pause everything and just watch. Turn the volume down and then watch. And as you watch and you begin to see different things, then slowly turn the volume back up just to see if what you're seeing is in collaboration, or rather what you're hearing, if it's in collaboration with what you're seeing. And I want you to understand, because and it's my job to say it if you don't see it. So from one Sunday to the next, it's been insane in the spiritual. I don't mean no shade when I say this, but some of you don't get it. So some of you saying, well, it really wasn't that crazy for me. And beloved, I want you to understand that's a problem. That's a problem. In fact, let me just go ahead and say this. If you can just operate every day, all day through life with no issues, that's a problem. You might want to go back and do your first works again. And so I had to put push pause on the Book of Acts sermon series just for the week, God willing. I don't know how he's going to play this thing out, but I know that when Holy Spirit said pause, I said pause. And I don't know if you see it, right? I don't know if you was like, yo, that didn't make sense. Yo, why are we here? Why are we going through this now? And when I tell you that we have a foe, we have an enemy that is determined, but he's scared. He's scared. But here's the hit. Don't feel big because he's scared. Because scared people, you know, when I was in the street, I never was worried about the guy that was ultra confident, or he just knew he would do this and he would talk about that. I always watched the guy that was quiet and nervous. But I want you to get this before we go forward. And some of you were saying that the enemy is hitting me with everything except the kitchen sink, and it's on the way. And some of you, some of us in here today, what happens is when we're attacked continually, consistently, we begin to believe the lie that he's winning. But I want to ask you, beloved, today to look at it from a different mindset. Is the enemy winning, or is he desperate? Is hell coming at you like crazy because he's got the upper hand, or because though you don't see it, he sees your breakthrough? And And let me go ahead and say this. And if we can break through individually, oh God. See, and we say, well, should we want to, break through collectively? We don't live collectively.
Come on.
So I need your house to be strong. I need your house to be strong. We need our house to be strong. I need your house to be strong. Because if your house is strong, if all the houses are strong, then the church is strong. And the enemy understands that. And sometimes he understands it better than us. So he is constantly body blowing you. Let me just go ahead and speak this prophetically. Some of you have been going through some hell in front of everybody and feel like you don't got nobody. I guess I'm gonna have to grab this microphone because this is breaking my heart. Even this worked last week. Amen. Thanks. Even this worked last week. The attack is real. Amen. So I want to talk to you from another topic today. And it's a question. And it's on your notes. What are we here for? What are we here for? You know, I remember when I first got saved in the Louisville jail, facing 20 to life in Louisville and then 10 flat here in Lexington, Kentucky. And I was so pumped because I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I had been delivered from a vile and dark mind. And maybe some of you don't know what it means to have a dark mind, but when I looked at a few definitions for a dark mind, what I found was, and it's in your notes, a dark mind consists of evil, corrupt, and perverted intent, which is devoid of regard for human dignity, and which is indifferent to human life. So the reality is, when I say, you know, how you feel about such and such, I say, man, you know, to be quite honest with you, I'm indifferent. And what I'm saying is, I really don't care. I don't really give it thought. So I want you to get, I used to live like that. In fact, let me tell you something, beloved, in case you didn't know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 have been in operation for a while now. And what's crazy is I find myself quoting these verses time and time again here lately. I was in Michigan preaching a 25-year anniversary service, and I found myself in the middle of a celebration service talking about perilous times. I want you to understand, beloved, that we're not reading the New Testament going, okay, so that's what's going to happen? No, baby, we're reading the New Testament going, that's going down now. I'm talking about when Paul told young Timothy, but know this. Remember last time I talked to you about it last week, I said, he started off in the New Living Translation. He said, you should know this. But in the New King James Version, he says, but know this. In the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Watch this. Brutal. Somebody say brutal. Brutal. No. I want you to say it and feel it as you say it, because this word is so cold-blooded, it's actually got weight to it that you can feel as it comes out your mouth. 1, 2, 3. You feel that? When you're trying to describe something horrific, the whole definition shifts when you say, it was brutal. And he said, in the last days, folk gonna be brutal. And watch this, and I underlined it, I highlighted it, despisers of good. In other words, there's going to be some people, beloved, watch this, that is going to despise what's good. Oh, there's going to be some people that's going to have a problem with you trying to be good. Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. From such people, turn away. Hold on. Brutal despisers of good. Let me tell you something. He's not talking about people outside of the church. He's actually talking about people in the church. While Paul is warning young Pastor Timothy about the future last days, his context and descriptions reveal he is addressing hypocrites and false teachers who have infiltrated the congregation. I remember about 2 years ago, you remember this, and we was, every week we was at like 106, 106 people, 103, 104, and a brother came up to me, and he said, Pastor, I don't know why I'm saying this, but we've been infiltrated. And it wouldn't be for months that I would be sitting around just thinking about that statement, and Holy Spirit said, and the reason that he knew and you didn't was because he was the infiltrator. And you watched for everybody but him and everybody with him. You was too, because he was holy. Lord have mercy. So get this. And let me just be real clear. If we are being real about it, these type people are still infiltrating the church. Let's take it deeper. Some of these same type of people could be sitting next to you. That's right. They could be sitting right next to you, and you might not know it because the tear resembles the wheat. Let me support what I just said with scripture. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. We'll read them first in the New Living Translation. It says, here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat. Then he slipped away. He didn't come with ruckus. He didn't come with mayhem. You understand what I'm saying to you? He planted. He went over and said, she's asleep. And then he slipped. He slipped away. So that when you wake up crazy, Lord have mercy, you begin to believe that something's wrong with you because you didn't see what went down in the rest. Oh God. And so now you're sitting around going, why am I so messed up? Why can I not get it right? But you don't have knowledge that somebody crept in past security and planted crazy in your life. Oh Lord. But as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. And when the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. So just as you can be growing in your holiness, they can be growing in their hell. The farmer's workers went to him and said, sir, the field where you planted that good seed, it's full of weeds. They're perplexed. They don't understand what's going on. We know what you planted. He said, where do they come from? Anybody ever said that? I don't know where you, me or your daddy ain't like it. I don't know where you come from. You ever seen evil and had to ask evil, what's this? What are you, where'd you come from? And verse number 28, an enemy, and he responds, an enemy has done this. The farmer exclaimed, should we pull out the weeds, they ask? Well, sure you should, right? Who wants to get down with weeds? But the answer was, no, he replied. You'll uproot the wheat if you do. You'll snatch out of position what's not yet ready. He says this in verse number 30, let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them, and put the wheat in the barn. Now, let me continue with verses 36 through 42 in the New Living Translation. It says, then leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field. And Jesus replied, the Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people that belong to the evil one, the enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. I don't want you to get this twisted, Jesus says. Your enemy is the devil. And if we go further along in New Testament scripture, we see where the Apostle Paul begins to mimic what Jesus said. He said, walk circumspectly, walk sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, then he names him, the devil. He mimics the Messiah in letting it be known who your enemy is. And that's hard for some of us to take because every now and again, you know, hey, even Jesus told Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're going to have some people in your life, Lord have mercy. You might have loved them all your life. You understand what I'm saying to you? And you can see them operating in a way that is contrary to the word of God. And God expects you to call that what it is, an enemy. Back up out of here. Devil, Lord have mercy. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we learn real quickly that Jesus cast them, the ones that just did wrong and in sin and loving it, into hell. Amen. No, amen. No, Jesus doesn't. If you end up in hell, that's on the strength of you. Jesus don't send you. He just prepared a place for you. And I love what Noel Jones said one time. He said, and some of us ought to be happy that we're going to hell. Or some of us are going to hell because we was on the earth realm for 60 and 70 years and we didn't want to be with God. What would make us all of a sudden want to be with him for eternity? Lord. Lord, have mercy. So, beloved, I really need you to lock in right now because this is really important. The farmer plants good seeds in the field being the world. But when the workers go to sleep, the enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. So now, as the crops begin to grow, so does the weeds. And the workers are perplexed. They are troubled because they knew that the farmer had planted good seed. So they had to ask, where do they come from? And the answer is deep. The Bible says that the farmer says an enemy has done this. Now, the reason that we have to deal with this is because of some things that were said in verse number 25, as well as 27 and 28. Let's go to work. Verse 25 says, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. This is deep because the weeds are people. Let me say it again. The weeds are people. Let me make it personal. Some of you have weeds in your life. The weeds are the people. Get this, the good seed represents people who listen to, not just listen to, but they respond to God's word. How do we respond to God's word? Holy. Amen? Obedience, right? These are the people that belong to the kingdom of God and will go to heaven at the end of time. The weeds, I want you to catch this. I want you to catch this because see, sometimes the flower's so pretty, we don't see the thorns. These are the people, so get this. The weeds represent the people who do not listen to God's word. They are sons of the evil one who will go to the fiery furnace of hell at the end of time. The harvest workers are the angels, and the harvest time is the end of age. This means that on earth, Lord have mercy, good and bad people will live together. Huh? Yeah. We will live together. And the kingdom of God will be present amongst the evil of the world. And at the end of time, people will be separated into their eternal destiny. We're going to grow up together. But there's going to come a time where we're going to part ways. Amen? And we're going to go to our eternal destiny. Meaning some will go to heaven and some will go to hell. Why are y'all scared to say it? Let's try it again. I think that one of the biggest problems with a lot of people in church is we don't say that enough. Because if we said it enough, we'd think about it more and then we'd operate accordingly, right? So let's just try it again. Meaning some will go to heaven and then some will go to, all right, that's better. I'll leave it alone for today. Catch this, beloved. In verse 25, he says, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat. Don't miss that. Jesus is saying, some of you are really trying to live right. Some of you are really desiring to try, desiring and trying to live right, trying to live holy. But one of the biggest problems that you have is that Satan has planted weeds, meaning people, in your life for no other reason than to hinder you when it comes to the things of God. What are you saying, Pastor? It is time, it is past time that we do some inventory. We look through some things in our life, and if it don't fit, shoot it to the Goodwill. How you keep on holding on to garments that don't fit? Oh, this is nice, and it is. You just don't look nice in it no more. Watch this. You've outgrown it. Don't be afraid to outgrow things. Amen? Don't be afraid to look in that closet of yours and go, these just don't. You know what? I used to look good in that color, but I don't even look good in that color no more. Make it plain, Pastor, all right. So every now and then, you know, anybody ever had somebody that you just knew the end was on the way and they didn't see it. Everybody else saw it but them. And they still thought they had the aptitude or the right to talk jazzy. And they got slick with you one time and you said something like, I don't even know how I fooled you. You don't even fit in my equation no more. Huh? I don't even know why we're going through it. You ain't even supposed to be here no more. Huh? Now I want you to catch this. Weeds stop wheat from growing properly by choking out its resources, exactly how unhealthy relationships with unbelievers can stunt a believer's spiritual growth. Hold on, so what are you saying? What are you saying? I'm gonna tell you what I'm saying. I believe that everybody connected to our ministry, even my daughter. Not you, Maya. I'm talking my daughter, Misi. Even my daughter, she's visiting us today, amen. I believe that everybody, and so she's connected to growth because she's connected to me. And I believe that not everybody, let me say 99.5%, would you say that, Pastor? 99.5% of Growth Temple truly wants to live holy. We got a 0.5% that don't. Yeah, we got a 0.5% that don't. And you know who they are because they never show up in war. They never show up when it's crazy. You can't trust them with a pistol because they might shoot you. I believe that 99.5% of Growth Temple desires to live saved, live righteous and holy in victory, kingdom victory. But we got some people. We got some weeds. Huh? And the problem when you don't tend to weeds. So Miriam and I first met, and she would come over to the crib out in Eastland, and she would be meddling. I mean, she would just simply be meddling, Chris. I don't know why she would be meddling. What do you mean, Pastor? She would look out the back door in the window and see that I hadn't, or me or my son hadn't cut the grass. For months, Clinton, for months. But that wasn't her business. Her name wasn't on the lease. We were just courting. It's nothing. You don't come to somebody's house and say, you ain't going to cut your grass. The mom was out there, if you just that motivated about it, grass wasn't bothering me, right? And one day, about 2 weeks later, I'm walking past the kitchen having a cup of coffee. And I look out the window. I just happen to look out the window and have a real moment and go, my God, they're going to evict us. It's a jungle out there, right? Like, you know, you got to throw the lawnmower on the grass. Right? But what I want you to understand, watch this, is that the grass had grew quick. I promise you it didn't look that bad last week. But now it done grew. Watch that. Oh, God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. I hear you, Holy Spirit. And you got to be conscious of tall grass because predators can be in there. Lord, have mercy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why I wouldn't cut it. I looked at it and I said, mm-hmm. I won't be the one. We'll hire somebody that gets paid to take risk with their lives to walk into a field and not know what's in it. Amen. You got to be careful because the weeds grow quick and they strong. See, some of us got some weeds in our life and they wasn't as strong as they are now in the beginning. But the more access you gave the weed, oh God, The more you told the weed about your broken heart and the more you shared your pearls amongst that swinish weeds, it got power. You ever been manipulated by somebody that was supposed to love you and they manipulated about the certain thing that should have told them you can't afford to be hurt like that ever again, and they turn around and manipulate you with that very thing? Oh, God. In agriculture, weeds do not just exist next to wheat. They actively, watch this, compete for survival. So in other words, the weeds got an agenda too. You have an agenda as a believer of God, but the weed does too. And now there is a competition between you and what's supposed to love you. They compete for survival. Spiritually, this mirrors how close bonds with those that do not share your faith can subtly drain your spiritual vitality. I emphasize the word in the notes, subtle. You know, it's real subtle how they do it. Excuse me, because this word means, get this, doing something in a way that is small, delicate, and difficult to notice or describe. Watch this, but it is still important. Watchman Nee once said, the enemy doesn't try to kill you all at once. He does it a little bit day by day. If he tried to come and kill you all at once, you would have your defense mechanism would kick in. But you ain't tripping about a little bit. Huh? Until you realize that the little bit has become a lot. And now you don't even know who you are anymore. In Genesis chapter 3, I promise I'm almost done. In Genesis chapter 3, when God wanted to describe how cold-blooded the enemy's finesse game was, he said what in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, the King James Version, he said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Let's take it deeper. The Amplified Classic says, now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. The New King James Version said, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the Message Version said, the serpent was clever, more clever than any wild animal God had made. The problem with the weeds is sometimes they smart. And some of you may be wondering why all these different versions of the same verse. And the reason is because I want you to really get how much of, I want you to get how much a finesser the enemy really is. So you just can't go, because my heart feels like this. My heart is telling me your heart's deceitful. Shut up and see if it is in alignment with the word of God. Tell me about your heart. I'm caring about your heart. Is it in alignment with the word of God? And if it's not, I don't care how much you like it. I don't care how much you love it. I don't care how good it makes you feel. I don't care how you can see the future. It is a hard no. And you got to make up in your mind that I'm going to live prepared to give hard no's to what my flesh is begging me to say yes to. That's why I ain't got time to be meddling. I'm too much of a mess myself. I got to be watching me. I got time to be watching you. I got to watch me. I got to watch this old man trying to resurrect. Catch this. And so when the workers went to sleep, he, the devil, crept in and placed weeds or people who had been demonically programmed to choke you out and stop you from doing everything God created and purposed you to do. And the problem with being close to those that are in opposite agenda of God's agenda for your life is because you have been around the weeds for so long, they resemble you. They begin to resemble you, having the form of godliness. Is that scripture? Having the form of godliness, but denying its power. What's the warning? From such people, stay away. In other words, since your weed looks like you, since your weed shouts like you, since your weed goes through hell like you, you trust your weed. You listen to your weed. You follow your weed. And when you realize where your weed is leading you off the path that God has created for you, you don't see that until it's too late. And so the question today is the same question as it was back in the biblical times in verse 28. Should we pull the weeds? Should we pull them out, they ask? And this is deep because as the pastor or the under shepherd of this house, I see the weeds. I know who the weeds are. And like the workers of the field back then, I have asked the Lord, can I kick them out? Come on, they ain't doing that no way. Come on, surely I can kick them out. I mean, they sat right in your face and lied to you. Come on, let me kick them out. Sick of them. They bring stuff in with them. You ain't never seen a clean weed. Got bugs all connected to it. Things eating at it. Come on, surely you'll let me kick them out. And I promise you, boy, I have walked in here sometimes, see the weeds, and just be like, But God has told me many times, I can't let you do that, because as you pull the weeds out, as you call the game players out, you could injure the seeds that I sowed, the people who belong to me. And it hurts you right now. And it angers you right now. And it confuses you right now. And it frustrates you right now. But breathe easy, because one day it will be harvest season. One day there will be a day of judgment. And the ones that remained weeds, the ones that continue to remain in the family of darkness, will be separated from the wheat and cast into the fire. But what I need you to catch out of all of this, I believe that for everyone that calls this ministry their home, Growth Temple their home, God is saying, what has light to do with darkness? Do you remember when Paul asked a series of questions through the leading of Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through 18 in the Amplified Classic? It said, check this, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I want you to catch it in the Amplified Classic. It's heavy. It's heavy. I'm telling you, it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not make mismated alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them, inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership have right living and right standing with God, with iniquity and lawlessness? What's the two got to do with each other? Or how can light fellowship with darkness? Let me show you. Close your eyes real quick. One, two, three. Close your eyes. See any light? No, really, close your eyes. Try as you may. You see any light? Open your eyes. You see the light? You can see it when the darkness is gone, but when the darkness ensues, you can't see the light. They don't get down with one another, so why do we? What harmony can there be between Christ and Belial, the devil? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? What agreement can there be between a temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in and with and among them, and walk and will walk in and with and among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So cut out from unbelievers. Stop playing. Stop playing. Quit talking about you witnessing and you ain't one of them yet. You witnessing to them, but you're drawing closer to darkness by the minute. Stop playing. Come out from among unbelievers and separate, in parentheses, sever yourselves from them, says the Lord. Not Pastor Lyons, don't get mad at me. Says the Lord, and touch not any unclean thing. Then, he check this. He says, then, when you come out from the unbelievers and you stop having a fetish for unclean things, then I'll receive you kindly and treat you with favor. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, I want to deal with those same verses, I promise. I'm just 5 minutes and I'm out. I want to deal with them from the Message Bible, because it's way deeper. It says, don't become partners with those that reject God. I mean, I know you holy, but you know, I know you in church, but I don't do it. Peace. Peace. Why do we complicate this? See, I'll rock with, I used to be horrible at this. I spent 2 years trying to disciple somebody that don't want to be discipled. And then they bounce, go back to what they was always, well, actually never came out of. Just now they're not hiding it anymore, right? And I'm over here talking about, maybe I ain't called to this. No, maybe I wasn't called to them. Maybe you're not called to them. Quit putting all that time in. Because guess what? It took Pastor Sonia to tell me this one day. She said, Pastor, you are surrounded by spiritual vampires. And I went home and I dealt with that for a minute. And then Holy Spirit began to deal with me and said, and they're stealing the most precious thing that I've given you since I let you out of prison. And I'm like, what's that? He's like, time. If they can tie you up trying to get them together and they ain't trying to get theyself together, you miss everybody that I have sent you. Lord, have mercy. So don't be partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not a partnership. The Bible says that's war. That's war. Let's deal with that because there's a lot there. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That can never be a friendship because it will always be a war. See, when you come to church, but you don't listen, learn, and apply, and stand on what's being taught here, you can never truly grasp how serious this thing is. Thus, you show up, but you don't grow up spiritually. And it's evident that you have no true understanding of why we church, why we show up here every Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Let me tell you something, and I want you to hear me and hear me good. If you are a member of this ministry and you are not growing spiritually, then that is an indicator of one of two things. You are either a demonic plant, or weed that the enemy has secretly sowed and snuck off, or you are wheat that has grown faithful to the weeds in your life, and as a consequence, you are not able to grow because the weeds are sucking the spiritual life out of you. Ask yourself, I really want you to ask yourself this right now to yourself and be honest with yourself. Ask yourself, am I alive? Am I an alive, vibrant, growing seed of wheat? Or am I a plant? A demonic plant. Am I here because I am a demonic weed? And some of you might be wondering, how do I know if I'm a demonic plant? Here's how you can tell. If you can really tell if the people that you hang around really want to follow God, you can tell that they're serious. This is how you know if you're a plant, a demonic plant, or a demonic weed. You know the people that you're around really want to follow God, but if you're being all the way honest, you would have to admit at this time in your life, you really ain't trying to live the Bible's definition of holy. But I keep coming to church. And guess what? It's not you that's bringing you. You're being sent. Well, that's cold. It is, but there's a remedy. There's a remedy. You don't have to stay a demonic plant. You know how I know? Because I used to be one. Huh? Y'all looking at me like, for real? Y'all know y'all used to be one too. Y'all wasn't always speaking in tongues. Huh? Been one, right? So get this. And watch this. And that would explain why you come to church, but you don't obey God. That would explain why you can take church or leave it. You know, when you see people that just come and go every now and then, they hit and miss, that's really the attitude of I can really take it or leave it. I bet you make it to work. Bet you make it to the doctor's appointment. I bet you make it to the school functions if necessary. If you got kids and you got functions, I bet you make it there. But when it comes to this, you can take it or leave it. I don't have to come to church to have a relationship with God. Well, something got to change because you ain't got one at your crib. And I want to be very clear here. This is intentional about some people that are connected to this ministry. I'm being very intentional. And my desire is that you that if it's you, you either fix it or bounce. Listen, everybody looking around. And you know the weeds. Lord, have mercy. And so when we know they weeds, why we keep watering them like they're flowers with our time, with our resources and finances and mental health? Man, I go through too much mentally to be having somebody play games with me about their salvation. All right, here we go. It explains why it's not really important to you that your children aren't exposed to God as much as they are exposed to the world. And I believe that's anyone in here today, I believe with everything in me that God is calling you out of that demonically induced coma that the enemy has had you in. And if you will come down here, confess, repent, and decide that you are going to live for righteousness, I believe that God will forgive you right now. I believe it. I believe it. So, are you wheat growing in God, or are you a demonic plant, the weeds in some people's lives? Or are you the wheat that's around some weeds or demonic plants and you have began to see that they ain't really for you, but you done got cool with them now and it ain't easy just to cut them off even though your soul is on the line? Who are you? What are you? And who are you with? Who sent you? Lord, have mercy. Ask yourself that. Who sent me? Who sends me? 2 minutes. Here it is. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not a partnership. That's a war. Is light best friends with the dark? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? I'm going to say it again. Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Do trust and mistrust hold hands? Who would think of setting up pagan idols in God's holy temple? But that is exactly what we are. Each of us a temple in whom God lives. God himself puts it this way. Catch this. I'll live in them, move into them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. So leave the corruption and compromise. Leave it for good, says God. Don't link up with those who will pollute you. I want y'all for myself. I'll be a father to you. You'll be sons and daughters to me. The word of the Master God. So, I could preach a whole another hour on just what I just read, but I won't. So when I started this sermon out today, I said, for the last 6 months, we've been dealing with the book of Acts. And my prayer has been that we would see how serious the early church was in the book of Acts, and it would inspire us to really be about or get about the Father's business. That was the prayer. And I told you that when I first got saved in the Louisville jail, facing all that time, and I was pumped because I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I had been delivered from a dark and vile mind. And I was excited about being delivered because once I seen how messed up I really was, I never wanted to be that way again. And I was always thinking about how if God allowed me to get out, I was going to preach Jesus like crazy, especially to my family that wasn't saved, and especially to my old friends that wasn't saved. And I was pumped thinking about how lives were going to be drastically changed. And then I got out and I ran into the unsaved family members and I ran into my unsaved friends. And guess what? Nobody seemed interested. And I stand here today. I paused the book of Acts sermon series, standing here today to say that I've been pastoring for 17 years, and what has been mind-boggling to me, what has sent me to bed many a night, but not able to sleep, Lord, I went to bed but couldn't sleep, has been to see so many of those who have rejected God and knew that they were rejecting God. And that's why I had to pause the Book of Acts sermon series today and simply ask everyone in here who calls himself a member of Growth Temple, what are you here for? What are you here for? And to challenge some of you to beg for the last time, some of you to be really, to be real about where you are spiritually, come, repent, and get serious about this wall. And I say this all the time. God isn't expecting years to change overnight, but you are expected to at least start trying. It's a reason that this ministry is made up of all types of people, all types of, all different people types. And it's a reason that there's so much difference that makes us one unit. And the reason is so that we can draw every people group to Christ. But going forward,
come here. You come here. 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 You too.
Uh-huh. Go get your wife, John.
Going forward. And don't think because I didn't say come here that I don't know where you are spiritually, that I don't know that you love the Lord. I know you do. And I'm really going to stand right in here, because if I'm just being 100 with everybody, it's the people right in here. If they'll be courageous enough to listen until it's the end. I need to know why you're here. I need to know why you don't. We need to know why you're here. I need to know why you just won't leave. Well, what are you trying to stop? What are you trying to stop? How are you praying over us? Are you praying over us? Why are we here? Why are we here? Nellie, I didn't see your eyes. I said, come on down. Why are we here? There was two questions. And I'm going to say it again because I know how the enemy will try to seep in. If I didn't say come down, don't think that I think you want some foolishness, because that ain't the deal, okay? Because I know how the enemy works, right? When I was in prison, Mother, God gave me two questions. He said, I want you to ask people this. You'll know when it's time to ask them because you'll know I'm telling you to ask them. And then he said, and I want you to set the stage like this. We know that the enemy as demonic as he is, as messed up he's an angel. We like to say stuff like he was an angel. No. If you can go on up into heaven, you still got access, huh? But he's seen your destiny. He's seen your destiny. Oh, Lord, I'm talking to the whole building, but I'm real, really up in here. What is it that the enemy saw that he's been trying to kill you your entire life? In one way or another, he's been trying. I don't care if it's through depression. I don't care if it's that mother didn't love you properly. I don't care what it was. What did he see? What is your assignment that is so powerful that he's been trying to kill you for what seems your entire life? That's the first question. Here's the second question. You ready? Y'all ready? But why ain't God let him? Why ain't God let him kill you? You know it should have killed you. You know you shouldn't have came back from it. But why he ain't let it? Can I be 100 in here? Can I just be all the way real? I done passed out in a cocaine stupor a many a night. Done snorted more in one night than I could weigh. And then turn around and see somebody who ain't who just did a gram die. But not me. Even the nights we wished we would die because this was too crazy. Why didn't God let it? Brings this question full circle, don't it? Why are you here? Why are you here? Through it all. I'm not talking to the demonic plants and weeds now. Now I'm talking to y'all. Why are you here? Why'd you survive it? How'd you survive it? How'd you come through it? How'd you find some keep on keeping on? How'd you find it when everybody was fresh out of it, but you found some? How? Kingdom purpose. Your life is not your own. That, beloved, that is why you're here. Jeff, it's why you're here. Can I just go ahead and be all the way 100? I still be like, this is my dad, this is Jeff, this is my spiritual father. And people be like, huh? What is Jeff doing with an I Worship t-shirt tucked in his blue jeans? We don't tuck the t-shirts in, but Jeff do, and you laughing, but you got yours tucked in. But anyway, why would he be here? A 70-plus-year-old man. Can I just be all the way real with it? A 70-plus-year-old white man jigging with a 55-year-old gold teeth tattoo-having pastor. Why is he here? Kingdom purpose. So here's the question, and I'm out. We're done. Y'all go ahead and have a seat. Stay here. I won't talk to you. I feel good about you. Stepper, Sue. I said, woman, get back. So here's the mission. Because when you know the mission, you don't waste time. You're too busy dealing with the mission. You can't see me, but I'm talking to you, Shannon. Okay, so. She's my family. I can do that. April said, no, he didn't do it. He just, I don't know if he's saved or not. Listen, here's the mission that you, from now on, show up to church with your Bibles. You stop taking me at my word. You stop thinking because it's on the screen, it's what it says. You stop making me work hard and have to write all these notes out. Huh? You come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays with your Bibles, with your ink pens, with your highlighters. If you got a device, you know how to highlight the device. And we get in here and we work. And when you leave here, right, you are working. And you release, Lord have mercy, you release what you, oh God, you understand what I'm saying to you. We when we get in here, Lord have mercy, that's why we got to watch out for the pretenders. When we get in here, it's supposed to get so intense about Jesus, from the worship, from the hey, good morning, from the worship to the praise and worship, to the prayer, to everything, that when we go out, when we leave from here, we should be operating in something called doxa glory. It's when the glory, the Shekinah hits, but when the doxa, it just releases. Just every time you open your mouth, just God comes out. Jesus comes out. Revelation comes out. Prophecy comes out. But you can't come in here and do what you won't do at home. Huh? So on that family page, hit the like button. Hit the love emoji. If you don't like it, hit that. But you hit something, because what it says is, I'm in the game. I'm on the team. We are about to take the city. But when you say nothing, you say everything. Amen. The mission is, the reason you made it through is that so we could go out and save the lost. When did it stop being about that? So if I see you Sunday, I know you're going to be taking daddy to church. If I see you Sunday, then I know you've went home, thought about it, and decided to be a part of the mission. And if you don't, that is cool. We still love you. Just go play church somewhere else. Stand to your feet. Let's get you out of here.